you're in search of a great new bottle of wine, or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, good Sunday morning to you. This is Stu. Today we'll be in Chew and Stu. Mike, Michael and his lovely, lovely girlfriend Lou went up to Tuscaloosa last night. Apparently, there was some kind of scrimmage on the pitch for a quarter and a half anyway, and then it became a blowout. But Mike, they stayed in Meridian, Mississippi, I believe, home of PV guitars and amplifiers. Yippee. An American-made product. I, on the other hand, spent the day moving lots of heavy stuff around and got a moment to sit down and watch the Auburn game. As soon as Auburn got the ball in their first possession, transformer blew in the neighborhood and I was without power for 2 hours. So that was fun. I got to listen to the game exactly the same way I had listened to other games this year on my phone. but at least I had my dogs around me, and I had some sweet tea, and I wasn't having to cook while I was doing it. So, interesting week in college football, but we really don't have time to talk much about football this week. Phil's sitting at the board because Charlie's off on another one of his adventures. He's got his fedora, his whip, and
hiya,
making his way through Central America, one tiki hut at a time. So Phil is sitting in on the board. We got Charlie's sister answering the phone calls. I'm sitting here taking all the phone calls, including one we will bring up here in just a moment. We have a couple of guests today. The first one's going to be Jennifer Moore. She's with Hargrove. They're having a fundraiser coming up. She's going to come on in just a minute, and we're going to talk to her about that. Then later on in the show, we're going to have one of my very good friends, a fellow World Food Championship competitor, a fellow food champ, Andreana Geis, is going to be on. She and I have been friends for a couple years virtually, and thanks to World Food Championships, we got a chance to hang out a couple of times together. Last year down in Orange Beach, and then this summer, she also attended the Food Champ University that Chris Sherrill and I went to. And she's got a great story. She's going to be able to tell us all about the hurricane they had last week in the Atlantic. And she may have been on Food Network maybe once or three times or something like that. So she's going to be a great story. And we're going to talk about some food because that's what we do. And if Mike wakes up, you never know. He might call in and tell us what he's guzzling for breakfast. But I'm hoping that he does. Oh, wait, he's in Meridian. He's not having a Bloody Mary for breakfast. He might have the tomato juice part, but I believe Meridian is part of the Golden Triangle, and it is dry, but I could be wrong, because it's been 40-something years since I was in Meridian. We had a great event last Sunday at the Fort of Colonial Mobile. It was a World Food Championship qualifier, and Pirates Cove down on Dolphin Island won it. Okay, we tasted the four professional entries. And they were all good. All did a good job with the Bo Jackson burger, which was my first time trying that. It's a leaner patty than what you're used to, like more an 85-15, which means it's got a real strong steak flavor to it. And Vaughn's did it as a steamed bun. And Sylvia's, the po' boy place right there in the fort, they did a bo' boy. Made a po' boy out of it. But Pirates Cove did the most interesting, crazy little recipe. They made meatloaf stuffed with boudin, wrapped in bacon. And when we got to it, it was easy for each of us to go, that's going to win. It was really fantastically flavored. It was just terrific. It was a neat little idea. Stuffing a meatloaf with boudin was new. I've had bacon wrapped everything on earth, but stuffed with boudin, man, that was fantastic. That was a great dish. But we had Phil and Foster were there. They were performing the musical sounds and had the fork going. But I got to tell you, and Phil's sitting here, you know, listening to me, and I know he's got his interest in history. Yeah, Phil, I got to tell you, not only was meeting Bo Jackson a highlight of my life, a childhood hero, but I cooked for the VIP lounge on the top of a colonial fort. I cooked on a fort, a colonial fort, a pre-Revolutionary War fort.
Wow.
On the top wall, what is that called? That's got a name. But anyway, the top of the wall, I'm overlooking the city, fantastic view, hotter than Hades. I mean, it was really hot, but...
We just call it the top of the wall.
Yeah, but that was really cool. I mean, we could look down into the tunnel as traffic was going in and out. And, you had to walk down the wall, and then you'd look over, and there's a fence, and it's not like you're going to fall in there, Phil. Calm down. But it was absolutely a terrific event. And like I say, the weather for mid-September, way hotter than it normally is. They do this again next year. It'll probably be an 80-degree day, and it will be fantastic. But I'm telling you, for a first-time event, David Calametti and the folks at Alabama Coasting, Gene Fox helped them out, Gene Gable from the island. They've done a lot of events on the island. I think they did a really good job for the first time having this. And I got to tell you, it's just the coolest thing in the world to sit there and cook on top of an old fort like that. It was really fantastic. So kudos to everyone. Bo Jackson was so congenial and took the time to shake hands and take pictures with just about anyone that wanted to. And it was just, everything about it was fantastic. It made the city of Mobile look good. It, World Food Championships, once again, pulls through with a great event. And then we've got another one at the end of the month, another pre-qualifier over in Daphne at the Jubilee Festival of Arts. So if you get a chance, that's a two-day event. Go over to that. Check out these World Food Championship qualifiers, because it's not just that they're fighting for a chance to go to the big dance in November.
Yeah.
This is some really good food that you get to try. I'm telling you, everything that we had last week was really good.
No substandard.
Right, exactly. There was nothing that... Because I have judged some gumbo cook-offs where it's open to everyone to enter. And I've been to a few, and there are some that are notorious for this among judges, that there might be 35 gumbos on the thing to test, and three or four are actually edible, and the rest are just garbage. You're not going to find that with one of these World Food Championship qualifiers. I mean, this is all good stuff. So mark your calendar. Next one's in Daphne at the end of the month, at Jubilee Festival of Arts, I believe it is. I will be at that one, at least the Sunday event. I will be there judging, I believe. And I'm just telling you, you just got to go to one of these things. This is not like your regular cook-off when you get to try these things. They also had a backyard division at the Bo's Burger, Battle of Bo's Burgers. And I did not get to sample those, but I saw Mike make a beeline to, I believe it was the Junior League of Dauphin Island, because they were doing a PB&J burger, which was probably his favorite burger that I did at Lucky. But we're going to come on real quick, and when we come back, and we'll talk to Jennifer Moore from Hargrove about this festival they have coming up, Food Truck Festival. You know we love food trucks.
Yes.
I mean what's better than...
Depending upon the quality.
Because, you look back at the 80s, like, God, I love pizza, but it's so hard to make one. I don't want to drive to the store, and then Domino's Pizza Hut go, we'll bring it to you. And, now with these food trucks, we'll just bring the restaurant to you.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a very cool thing.
It is all the rage. Your house?
Actually, that is all the rage now for parties, like big anniversaries, big parties. Just have a food truck come. and set up, and people go buy the food from them. And my good friend Will Hughes, well, Will Hughes Catering has a food truck that he does a lot of that with. And yeah, it's really cool. So I'm looking forward, like I say, when we come back from this break, we'll talk with Jennifer Moore from Hargrove about this event coming up. We're going to talk about all things World Food Championship with Andreana Geis, including any kind of foolishness that Chris Sherrill and I might have gotten into up in Tennessee. He's doing these Food Champ Walmart demos now, going across the Southeast and demoing those. And he just did one in Daphne. So hopefully we'll have him on in a week or two to talk about it. Right now, I'm going to a break. You're listening to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Get on the line. Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hi, I'm Lauren Murphy, singer-songwriter, based out of Fairhope, Alabama. My website is laurenmurphymusic.com. I play with a local band called The Psychedelics, and you can check me out and come hang with us soon. You are listening to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu.
That woman can sing. I'm just going to say it right now, that's one of the best voices in the state of Alabama right there, Lauren Murphy. Beautiful voice. I love her songwriting. And if you ever get a chance to check out Lauren Murphy or any of our local acts, we mentioned Phil and Foster were at...
not me.
Yeah. we as an entity. I mentioned that Phil and Foster played last week.
I said, I'm not Phil and Foster.
Oh, he's not the Phil of Phil and Foster. But they're one half of the Marlowe Boys, which we've been playing some of their music on the show since their new album's come out. We have played Lauren Murphy's music, Yo Jonesy's. We got some new stuff that'll be coming up from Sugarcane Jane, which is a great husband and wife duo over in Fairhope. Just fantastic. But enough here about this here music talk. We need to talk with Jennifer Moore of Hargrove. Jennifer, real quick, this is Stu, by the way. You're on the air, and we would like to hear, what kind of shindig do y'all have planned?
Good morning, Stu. Thanks so much for having us on your show this morning.
Oh, absolutely. That's what we're here for.
You had me at Boudin Stuffed Meatloaf a few minutes ago. That sounds incredible.
It really was. It was terrific.
Well, we are hosting our second annual Downtown Get Down, benefiting our Hargrove Foundation, next Thursday on the 27th at Cathedral Square. We want to invite the community. This is a fundraiser that will be benefiting our foundation, and that money goes right back here in the community. And we're super excited to host food trucks galore. We have live music from Underhill Family Orchestra and Boo Ray. Adult beverages. We're featuring craft beer from Fairhope Brewing and Serta Brewing as well.
Excellent. And the Hargrove Foundation, what is their focus?
You know, their focus at Hargrove Engineers, we are committed to giving back to the communities in which we live in. And so with engineering, we want to focus on STEM-related initiatives in Mobile area. And that's going to be, you know, of course, your science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So at the Downtown Get Down, we'll have some recipients of the foundation grant funds there to highlight their programs. And that'll include the Baykeeper Swamp Program, the Gulf Coast Explorium, and also Best Robotics.
Oh, wow. I'm very interested now. I'm very interested now. Love me a robot. do you have a list yet of the food trucks that will be joining, or have you got one or two that you can really brag about?
Sure. We have a number of food trucks that have already committed to the event. So a big shout out to Wemo's. Cotton State Barbecue has a food truck now that they just started up. They're going to be there. Hot Doggery, Maya Luna, BFF, and Soul Heaven Cafe and Catering. We're also featuring some food booths. So the new Cheese Cottage that's downtown, they're going to be in attendance at the Get Down. And Frio's will be there as well for the little ones.
Oh, that's right. That's it's like a frozen yogurt or a frozen fruit. It's healthy.
Like a popsicle, right.
Yeah, it's healthy and delicious. Yeah, and Well, you've got a great assortment of different foods there with these different food trucks, which is the great thing about a food truck rally or a festival like this, is you can go up and try a bunch of different cuisines all at the same place for a pretty nominal fee, really. Most food truck food is not, $25-$30 a person. You can go up there and pay $8, $10 and get a fantastic meal from a food truck.
That's right. That's right. We're super excited to host all these food trucks. And then, of course, have the area for the kids to play in. So you can come to the square, turn the kids loose, and have a good time.
Ah, that's fantastic. And yeah, I believe it is a little bit pet friendly in that square as well. So
that's right. That's right. We'll bring the furry pets as well.
Okay. One more time for the listeners. Just tell us what the event is, where the event is, and where they can get in contact with you if they have more questions.
Absolutely. Our 2018 Downtown Get Down this Thursday, September the 27th, 5:30 to 8:30 in Cathedral Square. $10 gets you in the door. That includes one adult beverage from Fairhope Brewing or Serta's Brewing. You can get tickets on our website at heartgrowthfoundation.org.
Jennifer, thank you again. I'm going to let you get back to your Sunday morning because I'm sure there's a Bloody Mary out there with your name on it.
Maybe, that's right, my friend.
Maybe a little corned beef hash or shrimp and grit. So I'll let you get back to that. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for the information. And hopefully we'll get to see you this Thursday evening.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it. Thank you again.
All right. Thank you. Once again, that was Jennifer Moore with the Hargrove Foundation, and they are having the Get Down Downtown this Thursday night at Cathedral Square. So go help them out. It's for a good cause, and there's some good food. Well, I mean, what more could you want? Now, I want to talk real quick. I made dinner for Heather the other night, and, you know, first off, I stopped by Rouse's because I knew we were hungry. And I go back to the seafood counter, and they've got these beautiful head-on whole yellowtail red or yellowtail snapper, fresh from the Gulf, $6.99 a pound. And I pointed at one, and I said, I'll take that one. And he pulls it out for me. How do you want this? I said, I want the fillets, but I also want that head and that skeletal system, because gumbo season is coming up, and I'm going to need some stock. So they break down the fillets, they put that in one container, they take the head and the bones and everything for my stock, wrap that in other paper so that I'm able to put it in the freezer until I'm ready to make stock. And I went home and I did a jerk seasoning on the snapper, fried up some flour tortillas and put it across the top, made jerk fish nachos. Mm. One side, it was jerk, it was Caribbean fusion two ways. The first one was the jerk fish nachos. The second one was a really interesting spin on shrimp and grits, because the shrimp was cooked in a coconut curry sauce, and the grits were from this company out of Mississippi, Delta Blues Rice, and the grits are actually made from rice, not corn. So it looks like grits, and it's got the texture of grits, but you treat it like rice as well. So I did basically coconut rice, which is where instead of water, you cook the rice in coconut milk. And it's a wonderful dish. Threw in some pineapple, but they were grits. So it was shrimp and grits, technically, but it was actually, coconut curry shrimp over coconut rice. So, and a little of the coconut curry sauce I drizzled over the nachos, too, in case you were just thinking it was just tortilla chips and some fish. But if you can see it in the stores, possibly Rouse's, but you know what? If you ask Rouse's, they will get it. Check the other stores, the Publix and the Whole Foods and the Piggly Wigglies. Check all of them for these Delta Blues rice grits. They were absolutely fantastic. The texture was great. They were just unbelievable. And my good friend Simon Majumdar from Food Network is one that turned me on to them. He was gifted a bag or two of these when he visited the family that owned them in Mississippi. He said it's absolutely the best thing in the world to make rice pudding with. So that's next on the list. I'm a big rice pudding fan.
I hadn't had rice pudding in forever.
Yeah, and this will be rice pudding where the rice looks like grits. So I'm really interested in this, and I'll have to go back and forth with Heather about it, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be raisinless. Not a fan of the raisins. So, but if you, like I say, it is a great product made here in the South and by our neighbors over in Mississippi. And just a really, really neat concept with these rice grits. In a few minutes, we're going to be, when we come back from the break, we'll be talking to my good friend, Andreana Geis, who is a World Food Championship competitor. So while we're on the topic of World Food Championships, I just want everybody to know, if you get on Facebook and you're bored, you're looking for something stupid to look at, I'm there for you. I have a special Facebook page set up called Stuart Reb Donald Food Champ. And just put that into your Facebook search engine box. That is where I am chronicling my climb back to the top, so to speak, this year's World Food Championships. Some of the burgers I'm experimenting with, I'm putting up there so you can see some really crazy things. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I do. I know exactly what I'm going to do, but I'm going to pretend like I don't know what I'm going to do yet and keep posting things up there that I'm experimenting with, because I'm a little flighty and I may change my mind at the last minute. I did last year. I had a dish that I planned for 4 months last year and ended up doing something totally different the week of the event. So it'll be fun. But you'll also find other information on World Food Championships there, any of the Food Champ programs that we've got going on. Recipes. Every Friday I do a tailgate recipe of the week. So you can get on there, take a look at a picture, and read the recipe on that. Again, that is at Facebook, Stuart Reb Donald, Food Champ.
Food Champ.
Yeah. And you will probably be able to catch the podcast of this show on there later on in the week, because just like when I put it on the Sip and Chew Facebook page, I also put all of our interviews with World Food Championship competitors like Andreana and the gentleman we have coming up next week, AC Vincent. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Andreana Geis, Food Champ.
Some reheated Salisbury steak with a little slice of love. I got no clue what the chicken pot pie is made of. Just know everything's doing fine down here in Lunch Lady Land. Oh.
Well, I wear this. To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
I'm Simon Majumdar, and I'm telling you to listen to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. It's the best food show on the radio.
Well, that's my good buddy Simon that I was just talking about with the Delta Blues Rice Grits. And I'm going to bring somebody up on the phone now. He's a very good friend of mine, Andreana Geis, a chef out of the Carolinas. And Andreana, I believe you have a little bit of experience with the Delta Blues Rice Grits as well, don't you?
Yes, I've used it a lot. I've actually enjoyed it not only in place of where you normally use grits, but I've used it in place of other starches, orzo, even mashed potatoes. It is a wonderful, it gives you some extra texture, and really absorbs flavors very well.
Yeah, I was very happy with it. But for those of our listeners out there who are not familiar with you, real quick, the 15-second elevator pitch on Andreana Geis.
Oh, gosh. I grew up in the food industry, ended up becoming a veterinarian, taught college for some years, and entered a recipe on Food Network in honor of my dad, and ended up winning that and got the bug for food sport.
It's quite a bug, isn't it?
It is. There's so many good things about it. It's about the food, it's about teaching what you know about the food, and it's being absorbed in the food culture, meeting great people like yourself and other people that are into food sport, and getting people into food sport.
Yeah, I'm starting to really love it. I have to admit, I know that when we're, you know, in Kitchen Arena and we're battling away trying to cook a dish that will hopefully pay for the trip, that it's a totally different atmosphere than a restaurant, isn't it?
Very much so. In a restaurant, you've got everything set up. You know what you're going to do. You might be given a couple curveballs, but you know where you're at. And there's all sorts of different things that could happen. I mean, you're outdoors, so weather, humidity, everything plays a role. And you've got that exact timing. It's to the second. If you don't have your dish out there at that second,
Yeah.
You unfortunately don't make that line.
Yeah, and there's for those who don't know, World Food Championships, there's a 10-minute window to turn in your food for all 40-something people competing in that category.
Exactly. And there's a walk to get it there, mm-hmm. and keep it looking pretty on your way.
And you're walking across a floor that is basically gravel with lots of electrical cords stretched across it, because at any time, and I'm sure you experience this, you can be sitting there filleting a red snapper or whatever it is that you're doing, and someone pops up, puts a giant shoulder camera in your face and goes, "So, tell us about your life and food."
Yes, another interesting curveball there. Yeah, and you have to do it smiling even if you're at that last second.
Yeah, because you don't know who's going to be watching that, and they might want to go, "Hey, Adriana, we would love for you to be the face of Kalamata Olives for the next year." So, you know,
that would be great.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And if they're listening, I'm up for it.
And your background is one that folks here on the Gulf Coast are going to appreciate. You are Greek, and most of the restaurants on the Gulf Coast, the old restaurants from the 30s, 40s, and 50s, were all started by Greek families, whether it was a seafood restaurant, a Greek restaurant, or a Chinese buffet. They were all Greek families here. So can you speak a little to the Greek heritage and its connection to food?
Yes. Well, first of all, let me say that I actually was born in Greece. My mom was Greek. My dad fought World War II, Korean, Vietnam, military man, so he met my mom there. And the "it's all Greek to me" is a complete different meaning to me than everyone else, because it is literally all Greek to me. We grew up, if you ever watched My Big Fat Greek Kitchen, My Big Fat Greek Kitchen, that's my site, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. It's very realistic. Exactly like my mom would tell me, everything came from Greece. If you told her differently, there'd be a good lecture on why it actually all did come from Greece. But wherever you traveled, the Greeks brought their food with them.
Mm-hmm. And we have benefited from that down here. Well, you know, one of the great barbecue places in all of the U.S. is Charlie Virgos' Rendezvous Ribs in Memphis. And the rub he's so famous for is actually a Greek rub.
See, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, and then the Cincinnati chili that they're so famous for isn't chili at all. It's a Greek dish that looks and tastes a lot like chili, so they just said, "Let's just call it chili."
So. I'm surprised they didn't just decide to say, "Everyone, we should call it Greek chili."
Well, I'm sure someone in the mayor's department said, "Let's call this Cincinnati chili."
Exactly.
But which is a fantastic thing. Is there's an addition of cinnamon and dark chocolate to it. It's its own beast, but it is phenomenal. I'm sure the dark chocolate part is not from Greece, because, you know.
No, the cinnamon for sure, though.
Yeah. Well, how many times have you competed in World Food Championships? I've lost count.
Okay, so I have competed in it 3 times, but I've judged 1 year, and I attended once. So 2013, I attended in Vegas. That was the first time I saw it. And then in 2015 in Florida, I ended up judging Chile, actually. And then 2016 and 17, I competed in Orange Beach, which I love, and I competed in the bacon category. And this year, I'll be competing in chicken.
Chicken. Any feta cheese and spinach going to be in that chicken?
There might be, but it's a big secret. Let's not tell anybody.
I bet if you did put feta cheese in it, it would not be the cow's milk feta cheese that everybody gets at the grocery store, would it?
Oh, no. I am a sheep's goat milk combination fan, actually.
Now, see, this is the kind of friends that I make through World Food Championships. She has a specific feta that she likes that is a blend of milks and none of them cow. This is how serious feta cheese is to this lady. She has a particular milk blend she likes hers made from.
Exactly. Some people like a certain blend of meat for their burgers. I like a blend of cheese for my feta.
Now, you were on, was it Ultimate Recipe Showdown, correct?
Yes, that was on. That was my introduction to food sport, and that was on Food Network.
And you met a guy named Guy?
Oh, I met a guy named Guy, and yes, he is a lot of fun and one of the most wonderful people I've ever met.
He really is. Yeah.
He's as friendly in person as he seems on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Very genuine.
Yeah, he's the same person you see on TV. That's just who he is. He's just that guy.
Unbelievable memory, too. After I was on the show, a year later, I was at an event that he was at, and I went in to have him sign a photograph of me, my husband, and him together, and brought it up there, and he signed it, and I just brought an extra picture to give him. And the first thing he asks is, "Where's Rick?" Remembered my husband by name.
Mm-hmm.
A year later. And then as I was walking away, even though he had a lot of things to do, he looks at me and goes, "Where are you going?" And I'm like, "Well, I know you got things to do." And he's like, "Aren't you going to sign my photo?"
he is just genuine. And then you were featured on another show from Cooking Channel that I was also had a recipe featured on, The Perfect Three. And you got to meet the most adorable person ever to work at Food Network, Kelsey Nixon.
She was extremely sweet and great to work with. A lot of fun. I made a beet green feta and prosciutto quiche for that one.
Oh, God, that sounds good.
Again, I tend to put a Greek twist on things.
I like it that way.
Well.
Yeah. But so you're no stranger to Chelsea Market. You're no stranger to Food Champs. Last week you got to encounter something that we're no stranger to here in Alabama, and that was the hurricane. How is everything there?
So it's not as bad as Wilmington when it came to the actual hurricane damage. It was scary. As you know, hurricanes come towards us, and they're not exactly sure where they're going to hit. So you've got people leaving and people staying and everything closing up. Sometimes just the amount of things that close and an almost feeling of solitude that happens is sometimes the scariest part. The storm itself, thank goodness, passed by us. Unfortunately, it did hit Wilmington and did a lot of damages there. But we're now getting a lot of water coming in. There's flooding that we haven't ever even seen before coming to this area, and it's still coming.
All that rain
moving down into the river.
Yeah, the part of the country that we're in, Mobile, a lot of people don't know this. Mobile is by far the rainiest city in the 48 contiguous states. Seattle, Portland, we laugh at them. They get about half the rainfall that Mobile and Pensacola, Florida get. And we're just like, yeah, y'all aren't raining. Y'all don't understand it. But we're also at the very bottom of all the south running rivers on the eastern side of the U.S. from the Mississippi all the way to Atlantic. So when Ohio gets a flood, we get flooded. When Tennessee gets a flood, we get flooded. So I understand how you're feeling now with, wait, the storm was last week. Why are we being flooded now?
Yes, and it's an odd experience when you're looking out at a sunny day, mm-hmm. and the water is rising in your backyard. It sort of blows your mind. It's like, but wait, it's sunny out.
Yeah.
But it just seeps down. They call the area I live in the Lowcountry. Called out for a reason.
Yeah. And also, for those who don't know, the Gulf Coast is not the birthplace of shrimp and grits. It's not a Gulf Coast dish. It comes from where Andriana is from, the Carolinas. I believe the Gullah people started it, correct?
They did. Also, the area that, the same area, basically, that She Crab Soup started at.
That's great. So we have one restaurant down here that has featured it for about 20 years. It's unbelievable. But we're in the last minute, Andriana, and we'll have to pay some bills. So real quick, tell people if they want to find more about you, where can they go?
Well, you can find me on Facebook. I'm going to spell my name since it's a hard one. It's Andrian, A-N-D-R-E-A-N-N. Last name is Geise, G-E-I-S-E. and you can find me on Facebook. I'll have all my information on there. But I also will be having a new website coming up called formylovofood.com.
Nice, 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 nice. And you are also going to be in Orange Beach, Alabama, I believe, in November, correct?
That is correct. Competing in the World Food Championship, the best food experience that anyone could have. You got to go over to Orange Beach, one of the most beautiful places, and watch, and hopefully you'll get the bug and get in there too if you're not already.
All right. Well, Andrianne, thank you for coming on, and I look forward to seeing you in November, dear.
Look forward to it. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you. Everyone, just stand at attention and just enjoy this song.
Love is mine. Love is mine.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hello, this is Vlad from Mediterranean Sandwich Company. You're listening to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu.
My buddy Vlad, not only does he have one of the best sandwich shops you'll ever eat at, if you haven't eaten in one of the four Mediterranean sandwich companies, do it. What are you waiting for? This place is fantastic. But probably the best fisherman from a kayak you've ever met in your life. We call him the Romanian redneck. As you can tell by his accent, he ain't from around here. But go try the sandwich, and if you see him out in the kayak, get out of his way, because chances are he's got more redfish in his kayak than you have in your bay boat. The guy's phenomenal. But I have been hinting all week on Facebook, on my site, the Food Champ site, my personal site, the Sip and Chew site, that I have a big announcement to make today. And I saved it for the very end because I wanted to make sure that our guests got the full attention to them before people start going crazy in the streets at this announcement. most people who listen to the show are aware that a few years ago I had a little bit of a fist fight with a tomato can in downtown Mobile. And I say it was a tie, because I'm still alive and that tomato can is chili. But I was contacted by an old friend during my recovery who said, I think this is a great story. And he said, the first thing I need you to do is write a book about it. So that's the announcement. As of Monday, the book was finished, the first draft, and it has gone to my editor. We are trying to fast track this so that it is ready when I go to World Food Championships in November. So the first pressing will probably be digital only, or through Amazon, where you can order a copy, they'll print it and send it to you. The book is currently entitled Death by Tomato Can, The Miraculous Life of One Chef. And it will give the history of how I got into restaurants, which was a bit of a surprise considering I took a scholarship and went to Mississippi in music, that I ended up cooking for a living. But I have been pounding away when I could on this book to meet this deadline. So the first draft is in the editor's hands now, and she's pretty good at what she does. And the first draft, honestly, is a little short. I actually chatted with Simon Majumdar about it. Many people who don't know his backstory. Before he became known as Food Network's toughest judge, he was a publisher in London for 20 years and one of the most influential in the London publishing scene. And, you know, just got, you know, what he had gotten into it for, which was finding new writers with new voices, had disappeared into, as he described it in his book, an 8-hour day of screaming at each other, because everyone's trying to get their opinion heard and they were forgetting about the writers and forgetting about the works, and it was all about just how many books they could sell. But I messaged him about it, about the length and everything, and he likes the idea. And the fellow who wanted me to write the book is to serve as an outline to hopefully write the script for a documentary about Death by Tomato Can. And that is the ultimate goal here, is to get the book written, get it out there so that he has something to go by. And hopefully in a year or so, we will start shooting a movie about Death by Tomato Can. And that is one of the other things that I feature on my Food Champ page is updates now on where we're going with the book and the documentary. And the other thing, and this is probably my favorite part about this entire project, is that my friend, who was one of the musicians I went to music school with, said, "You're a musician. I'm a musician. All our friends are musicians. There's no reason for us to use any recorded music for this at all. You need to start writing a soundtrack." So I have written one full song. I have a second song partially written that I actually have talked with Lauren Murphy about helping me with. And we get to the movie stage. We'll be going in studios, and all of my old musician friends and local Mobile musicians, that's who we're going to use to make this.
As it is, you have a soundtrack for the book.
Right. Exactly. I do have a soundtrack for the book. And the musical styles are going to be very interesting because I have a very diverse musical background. Phil and I have talked many times about our love of Yngwie J. Malmsteen. By the way, yes. You've got to go on YouTube and look at B.B. King's tribute to Yngwie Malmsteen.
I have seen that.
It's amazing. I love B.B. King. But I've got a quiz for Phil now.
Uh-oh.
I have a few different creatures here, and I'm going to ask you just yes or no, have you eaten them?
Mm-hmm.
Sound easy?
Mm-hmm.
Cow?
Yes.
Okay. Lamb?
Yes.
Gator?
No.
Shrimp?
Wait, I take that back. Yes, because you brought the gator strips in.
Yeah, the gator jerky. Yeah.
Jerky.
So you've had gator.
Mm-hmm.
You've had shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
You've had pig.
Yes.
Okay, not so hard, is it?
No.
Wild boar?
No.
Okay.
I've not lived on the island.
Okay. Shark?
No.
Okay. Deer?
Nope.
Okay. Goat?
Deer, yes. Goat, no.
Okay. Crawfish?
Yes.
Okay. It gets a little easier. Are you ready, Phil?
Mm-hmm.
Crab?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Turkey?
Yes.
Buffalo?
Nope.
Okay. Quail? And I will take quail eggs if you've had those. Because it's just a quail that doesn't have feathers yet.
Nope.
Okay. Have you had rabbit?
Actually, no, I have not.
Okay. Tuna?
Nope. Wait, yes. Oh, good. Yeah, yeah.
Tuna? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lobster?
Yes.
Okay. Chicken?
Yes.
Frog?
No.
Okay. Never had frog legs?
No, I have not.
You would love them. All right. Now we get interesting. Salmon?
Yes.
Octopus?
Actually, there's the little calamari at a, you know.
That's squid.
Chinese.
It's
squid.
It's, it's a cephalopod.
No octopus, no.
Okay. They're different. Snake.
Yes. No.
Duck.
Actually, yes.
Okay. I got one more for you. Sure, I'm sure you've had this. Elk.
No.
Okay. Would you like to know which of these I have had?
All of them?
Every single one of them. Snake was the only one I thought I hadn't had, and Mike messaged me back. We had python jerky on the show a couple of months ago.
Then I've eaten it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so, Chris Sherrill shared this, and it is called Meat Bingo. and in the very center of it, there's one called Free Space. And Chris Sherrill put yes to everything on there and 40 different animals in the free space. So I was happy that I have had everything on here. And I haven't sat down and counted, but yes, a number of animals that would go into the free space. And, I mean, because some of them are kind of logical. Oyster was not on here. I've had an oyster, you know, but... Oyster drill. Have you ever had an oyster drill?
Mm-mm. No.
Neither have I, and I'm anxious to try them. An oyster drill is an invasive species. They actually are called that. It's a type of snail that drills into the oyster shell and sucks all the oyster out of the shell.
Wow.
But the good thing is oyster drills are delicious. So if you find them, go harvest all the oyster drills, save the oysters, eat the oyster drills. Another one that I learned from Chris Sherrill. So that's been an interesting show.
Yes, it has.
We have talked about oyster drills and Bo Jackson and feta cheese made with sheep and goat milk. So we do a little bit of everything here on the show. Folks, World Food Championships is just a little over a month away.
Awesome.
And I got to get ready for it. Mike, Lou, y'all have a safe trip back from Meridian. Next week, we're going to have another World Food Championship competitor on. Good friend of mine, AC Vincent. And folks, while you're out there, remember to provolone.
Provolone.
Each day, each day.